up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a good recording, man.
Yeah,
I
brother,
can
like,
dig it.
Stop it. Right on.
There's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah.
Time now. The Empowerment Hour, the hottest show on Saturday mornings in Jacksonville on Praise 107.9. And now, here's your host on the Empowerment Hour, Dr. Richard Danforth, president of the Jacksonville Urban League, Jarman Leitner, president of First Thursday, and the producer and host, W. Larry Williams, CEO of Anchor Multicultural Communications Company.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Empowerment Hour. This is Larry Williams, your co-host, along with Dr. Richard Danforth, president of the Jacksonville Urban League, and Jarman Leitner, president of Harvest Mental Health Services. And I want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in this morning and every Saturday morning, 8 a.m., when we talk about things that's going on, what's going on in Jacksonville and beyond, and we always have lots of information that you might not find elsewhere in your media library. So good morning, Dr. Danforth. Good morning, Jarman.
Good morning.
Morning.
We're dealing with this COVID deal, and I think that's where all of our attention is right now, in spite of, the continued distractions from the White House about the election process. But, the COVID virus is, we get finally vaccines are being delivered and folks are being inoculated and so forth. But Jarman, we're still finding many people that are finding challenges, emotionally and dealing with this pandemic. What are thoughts from, your industry on, what's going on?
Yes. Well, being in the mental health field and providing the counseling services, we're seeing a lot of fear and worry in people and sadness and frustration. Again, the effects of people who are losing their jobs and even having to transition again from one job to a new job, and some people don't even have new jobs. So unemployment is still prevalent, and people are just uncertain of what's going to happen next. And so that is bringing on a lot of that fear and worry and anxiety. And there are ways to help cope and deal with that. We don't have to deal with those emotions and challenges alone. We can seek support for that. And there are many organizations who provide services that support people who are suffering in this way. So you don't have to necessarily have a history of mental health, but, sometimes situations that arise can cause stress. And you just need, again, some support and someone to help you help guide you through that.
Okay. Well, thanks, John. And we're going to talk more about, COVID, what's going on now with the vaccines, who's going to get them and that sort of thing. But Dr. Danforth, good morning. And seems like every time we turn around, something going on different about Block J. But I think for a change, we have some positive news. Reading the headlines yesterday that they had a town hall meeting focusing on the Lot J plan, and the Cordish companies came and made presentations, and I shouldn't say came, but via Zoom, and they were joined by members of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and it was hosted by the Jacksonville Urban League. So What's going on there, and is this a prelude to something more positive things happening through a partnership with the Cordish companies, the Jaguars in the city?
Yes, Larry and Jarman, we did have I think a very productive meeting, a Zoom meeting with the Cordish company representative, and as well as with the Jaguars representative as well. This all came about as a result, Larry, of a partnership that the National Urban League and the National Football League have together. And this past few months, the Jacksonville Urban League was awarded a grant under the Inspire for Change theme, where several NFL teams, several NFL urban teams, where their Urban League affiliates received the funding. And primarily what we're doing is we're going to, and we are working now with the Jaguars organization to see how, you know, to make certain that that all of the community, whether you're downtown or on the north side or wherever you are, that we're all participating in the process. If you recall, this Lot J development has been talked about close to 2 years now, so a lot of discussions really have taken place, but unfortunately, we have not seen too much community participation. And the way city government is designed in terms of consolidated government with the strong mayor and then you have the city council, the mayor's job is to present funding opportunities to the city council, and they check them, and then they decide whether they're going to pass them or not. So the main issue in all of this, and what I'm trying to get to, is the fact that there's not a mechanism in place for serious community engagement when it comes to the city spending money on various projects. So what you have generally is certain council members that are supportive of an idea with the mayor. And so that's where the discussions go back and forth. But what we wanted to do at the Urban League was to provide an opportunity, a conduit through which the regular community members can get more information and contact their city council representative and offer up your feedback, because the community has to be involved in this and the community has to help say yes to this project. And so that's what we want to do. That's what we attempted doing a Zoom meeting, and we will continue. We've been assured that we will continue. We'll be able to continue to work with the Jaguars in terms of how this project will help other parts of the community from an economic perspective, from jobs. And you know, they've talked about the number of jobs that will be created, but we need to be included in the process. And I'm talking, when I say we, I'm talking about the community.
Yeah. And that's good information, Dr. Danford. You know, too often now we're finding ourselves, well, I shouldn't say too often, but we find ourselves more involved recently. And from our show standpoint, anyways, at least it tells us that, you know, there's some outreach there, and that we're having an impact on the community in general, and the people that are making decisions around the city. And you know, at the end of the day, you know, communications between us and amongst us with the general community is one of our most important assets. I mean, you know, with this lack of communication is the reason we are where we are, two years into a project, and now, you know, just now starting to be a part of the an invitation to the party, you know, and the party's almost over from the planning standpoint, you know. So, you know, do we get a chance to get the last dance with the prettiest girl in the room or not?
Probably not.
Okay, hey, look, this is Praise 107.9 FM, the Empowerment Hour. We'll be back after this musical selection.
The new Praise 107.9, the ultimate gospel experience.
The ultimate gospel experience.
Oh, come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appears. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O of all mankind, bid thou our sad division cease, and be thyself our King of peace.
Rejoice,
rejoice, rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee. Oh, Israel, rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee. Oh, don't you worry, God's gonna be there. Emmanuel, he's gonna come. Oh, Israel. Ooh, yeah.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to the Empowerment Hour. This is Larry Williams, along with Dr. Richard Depp at the Urban League and Jarman Leichner over at First Thursday Jacksonville. We were talking about the virus and you know, its effect on some of us mentally, and I think a lot of us are finding some way that some type of depression with this deal, because, you know, we are not able to go outside the way that we want. The number of cases are spiking all across the country. You know, where do we go from here? You know, where do we get relief? And is the vaccine that is currently being, you know, in, folks are being inoculated right now, there's all types of things going on. Where do we go from here, John?
Well, there are, again, a lot of organizations that provide support for counseling and for just again the mental health challenges and the stresses that we're seeing people experience right now. You have to reach out to your healthcare provider if you're insured. If you're uninsured, you have to seek out some of the nonprofit community organizations who offer possibly free counseling at this time. Everyone has been affected in some way by COVID-19. You know, they whether personally or whether they know someone that has been affected. And people are having anxiety about the vaccination. Larry, you know, I don't believe that the vaccination is necessarily going to relieve some of the stress, because there are still questions surrounding whether the vaccination is really going to be as effective as it's being reported that it is. So first of all, we have to be aware that we're suffering. Okay, when we can't, we don't need to deny that we're suffering and having challenges at this time. And it's okay to get support. We have to know that support is okay, and you have to be willing to get the treatment or the interventions that are necessary to help you, or the process is not going to be effective.
So where should this support come from? I mean,
professional counselors.
But you don't have as many professional counselors as we really need. So I guess that's where perhaps the church, some of the ministers are able to provide counseling, you know.
I think there are a lot of professional counselors out here, and there are pastoral counselors in churches who can provide some support.
And if they can't find one, they can always call Harvest, right, John?
Yes, and if they can't find one, they can definitely call Harvest Intervention Services. We have our website, www.harvestinterventions.com. Even if you're uncertain of whether you're really suffering from the stress and anxiety and need help, you can give us a call, and we can have a brief phone consultation to let you know whether to seek out support on an ongoing basis. Sometimes short-term therapy is effective, but sometimes people need more therapy, and that's on a long-term basis. So first of all,
you guys do that virtually as well, right?
Yes, we have all of our professionals provide virtual telehealth services, and again, for adults and for children. So we work with entire families, and we work with couples.
Okay, so Dr. Danforth, the second vaccine, the Moderna's coronavirus vaccine, has been endorsed by the FDA panels, and is now next week should be shipping some 5.9 million doses, you know, around the country, and that is adding to what Pfizer has done this past week as far as getting it out to states, and so that they can get the vaccine to the first responders and essential workers. I believe those are the first folks that are receiving the vaccine. That we're talking about such a limited numbers, vaccines that in this first batch, you know, we're talking what 40,000-50,000 doses for an entire state. You know, that doesn't bode well. What are you hearing, and what are your thoughts on how this vaccine is being not only distributed, but you know, the challenges of getting it out to the people?
Well, my thoughts. We had a Zoom meeting the other night, and Dr. Haley over at UF Health, of course, was the first one to take the test, and he decided to do that to let his employees know that you know, the shot is safe. And
oh, he took the actual vaccine.
He was the first person in Jacksonville over at the hospital to take the test. Now, what happened too is they surveyed all of their employees. You know, they have hundreds of employees at the hospital there, mm-hmm. and surprisingly, 40% of employees in the hospital are concerned or have questions as to whether they should get the shot. So,
right.
So that's going to be interesting when you, you know, we're saying first responders, how many of the first responders are going to actually take the test? And then, of course, what happens with their families? Do you, if I'm a police officer and I get the test, should my wife get the test as well? You find, so there are a lot of questions around this process. And that's why on last week, I decided to not take the test. I decided to wait until the spring when others have had an opportunity to do that. But I'm concerned about first responders and others who are concerned and who may not take the test because you can't make them take it.
So now that the vaccinations are underway, should it be the healthcare workers or students and teachers? There are questions surrounding who's essential now to receive the first batch or even the second batch of vaccination. Is it the athletes? Like, who should receive the vaccination first? Larry, who do you think?
The White House received it first, right?
No, that was proposed, but after a public outcry of the indignity of the White House staff getting preferential treatment, they rescinded that order, and so now they have just fallen in place with where they would normally receive the vaccine. Okay, but the vaccines themselves, you know, let's talk about the vaccines. Okay, so. Number one, Florida was one of several states who anticipated receiving X amount of doses and actually received 40% of what they were expecting. Okay, and now there's this debate in the government, federal government, in the administration of who's responsible for. Making sure that the states receive their proper shipment. Anyways, long story short, these two vaccines have to be stored differently, transported differently, and can't be mixed. So, you know, we want to make sure, you know, in our listeners' base, those who do take the vaccine, that you don't mix the vaccines. You can't take if you start with the Pfizer, you have to take Pfizer ongoing. If you start with the Moderna, that's what you go forward with. So just to be sure, you know, right now we're talking about the first dose and then it's 21 days. I mean, yeah, 21 days before you get your second dose. And until you receive the second shot, you're not immune, and that's when the immunity starts.
So you can't mix the two, right? You can't take
correct.
You can't take the Pfizer drug and then go take the Moderna drug, right?
That's exactly right, Doc.
No, and exactly you have right. to take both doses of it as well. You have to follow.
Yeah, and including moving forward, John, and talking about moving forward, we're going to go to the next. We're going to end the segment and want to thank our listeners again for joining us every Saturday morning, 8 a.m. right here on the Empowerment Hour. We'll be back after this musical selection.
The new Praise 107.9, the ultimate gospel experience. The ultimate gospel experience.
I lift my hands to you, my voice I raise. Because of who you are, I am who I am. We sing glory to the Lamb, oh my. You save my soul from sin, answer my prayer. Trust me in righteousness. None can compare. Show me the path to walk you. show me a plan. We sing glory to you. And make them grow. You found the best in me. Show me who I am. We sing glory to the Lamb. Oh, oh, oh. There is no other name, no, that I can call. You showed me that you were my all in all. Strength empowers me to be what I can. We sing glory to the Lamb.
Everybody, and welcome back to the Empowerment Hour. This is Larry Williams, along with Dr. Richard Gafford and Jarman Leichner, and we're really having a good conversation, informative conversation about the vaccines, the new vaccines that are out now, and both have been approved by the FDA, and Pfizer started their distribution, and the inoculations are underway for, you know, the first responders and doctors and nurses and folks that, you know, are out there on the line and making sure that we, if we do have to have some hospitalizations, that we have competent people there and that they are protected from the virus. But, you know, digging a little bit deeper, and then, you know, we're going to get away, you know, go into some of the complications about the virus that many people aren't talking about. But the virus, I mean, the vaccine itself is an interesting drug, and it's not a biological drug. What do we call that, Jarman? It's produced in the laboratory. So, you know, one of the things that when I was considering taking or whether or not I would take the vaccine is if it was biological reproduction, maybe so. Something that can reproduce itself in your body, and really you don't know what the after effects are going to be, and how do you control the growth of that vaccine in your body? You know, that troubles me a little bit. But
yeah, there have been some reports.
Dr. Danford, Jarman, what do you guys think about that?
I've just heard some reports of, you know, some people suffering from Bell's palsy after taking the vaccination, headaches, you know, fevers and chills. So
yeah, and you know, we probably expect the normal symptoms, you know, the headaches, the throwing up or whatever it is, and those are normal symptoms that you have. But that is a short-term a complication the virus. I mean, for your body to build the antibodies to fight the virus, okay? But, you know, the long-term implications, I think, are more what, you know, concerns me. And we had a football player, I believe, that had the virus and what happened in this particular case? Wasn't this in Florida?
It was actually a basketball player, Larry, who plays for the University of Florida, Keontae Johnson. He collapsed during a recent game, and he was previously diagnosed with COVID-19, had overcome that, and was back out on the court playing, and they're still running tests on him to see what actually caused that collapse, because, you know, he had tested negative. That's why he was back playing on the team. But he's dealing with some challenges right now. And again, medical professionals are running tests to find out what could have caused that. And I've just seen some social media videos of people who have tested positive for COVID, and then once they tested negative, they still report feeling, having trouble breathing, you know, feeling body pains. They still were having difficulties that carried on weeks after they had tested negative. So again, there are just still some uncertainties about the long-term effects of the virus itself. Yeah. Dr.
To the question to both of you, Dr. Danvers already answered it, but would you take the vaccine as it stands right now?
I think I answered that. No, I'm not going to take it right now.
No, I can't. You know, and of course, being a veteran, you know, I had to visit the VA this week for blood work, and I queried the people at the VA, those professionals, and some of them are saying that they're not going to take it, you know, and so it's going to be interesting. And of course, we haven't talked about perhaps how are they going to distribute this, and when are they going to get to certain communities? You know, we know that the first responders and the senior citizens are will be vaccinated, but what about people in these communities that are already suffering from so many problems, whether it's unemployment, we've talked about that earlier, and the stress in these communities. Mm-hmm. I just don't know. We don't have a history of fairness, you know, and it always appears to come down to who you know, what you're, you know what I'm saying is, do you have input? Do you have? And so I'm looking at really how they present this to the entire country, and that's going to be a major challenge going forward.
Right.
So yeah, and I think that used. Pardon me, John.
I said, right. It's a question of what population is going to be next to receive the vaccinations if they continue to roll more of them out.
Yeah, so, I think the essential workers are next up on the line. And you know, it's interesting, this conversation, because, you know, national research says that one third of the people will take, you know, said yes, they take the virus. A third said, you know, they're considering, a third said no. You know, so that's the demographics of the folks. That's the dissection of it. You know, we have a third of the country that says, you know, yeah, give me the vaccine right now, and the other two thirds are saying either, you know, they're waiting for to see how the after effects are, or they're not taking it at all based on historical things and that sort of thing. If it, you know, I was watching the CNN last night, I believe, or this morning, and one of the analysts and the head of the Morehouse College School of Medicine were inoculated on the air this morning, just to prove to folks that this vaccine, and they believe that this vaccine is safe for use, at, you know, for African Americans and also for people with underlying health challenges.
Okay.
Now, so does that mean that everybody should go down and take the vaccine? No, it's a personal choice. You know, if you don't feel comfortable taking the vaccine, don't. You know, you know, we have to move on sometime or another. You know, right now, I would think would be the safest time to take it, because you're going to be, you know, under in the hospital, wherever you're going to be, there are going to be doctors and nurses and facilities there, so that if you do have an adverse effect there, then, you know, you have the support of that clinical facility. But again, I don't like to be in that situation myself where I got to make that decision. We were talking off the air, and I told you guys I took my first
flu shot
last year, and that was it, and that'll probably be my last one.
Well, we know that the first responders and essential workers are the first ones or who are going to receive this or the next group, but there are still questions concerning the students. Should it be mandatory for students who are in school? Should they be after the essential?
Well, I don't think that students have rights just like everybody else. You know, this last I heard that this still is America. You know, can't force people to do things. But again, vaccines and mandatory inoculations are things that have taken place in the past, haven't it, Dr. Danford?
Oh, you're so right. I mean, look at we can always point to the Tuskegee experiment. Years ago, when veterans, African American veterans, were used, you know, in getting the drug, and we understand that's probably why many people from the African American community are suspect. You know, there's just a lack of trust. Really, you know, it's just. It's not good. We've got to make things more transparent going forward.
Absolutely, and that's absolutely right, Dr. Danford. We're going to continue our conversation in the next segment. Again, we want to thank all our listeners. And next segment, we're going to have Daryl Willie from the Duval County Public School Board, and we'll be back with some more hopefully positive COVID updates.
The ultimate gospel experience, the new Praise 107.9.
Everybody, and welcome back to the Empowerment Hour. This is Larry Williams, along with Dr. Richard Danford, Jarman Leitner, and our very special guest, a man with two names, two first names, Daryl Willie, vice chair of the Duval County Public Schools. Good morning and welcome to the Empowerment Hour, Daryl, and I hope things are well over in the district. Yesterday was the last day of school for Duval Public Schools. Am I correct?
That's correct. Yeah, we're officially on winter holiday break. So happy holidays to everyone. And thanks for having me on, as always. Two first names, because I want to be first on your heart and first on your mind. That's what I tell people.
All right.
I heard that line in some movie, and I'm trying to figure out where it was, but I'll figure it out between the next time. But that was a good line.
Yeah, what's going on? What's going on in your district, man?
Hey, a lot is happening. It's wild because at the end of school, I mean, one of the things we're trying to do is make sure, of course, we're informing everybody to be safe, because people now see the vaccine going out. So they're like, hey, we're good. People got the vaccine. But no, if you haven't gotten it and your friends haven't gotten it, you are not exactly safe. So just informing people to still stay safe over the break. And then we just had a lot of intersectional issues is what I'll say. We had you all may have seen in the news, there's a local hotel, motel that shut down. And the way it affected our schools was we had families that were living in these hotels that were sending their students to school at right around the corner from these hotels. And so we had to kind of work with our local city officials and even our state representative to make sure those families were taken care of for those last couple of days of school and then through the winter break, because we don't want them to be without a place and a roof over their heads. So.
How did that cause a spike in those schools that where those children were attending?
Yeah, it wasn't necessarily connected to those kids specifically, but at the end of probably the last couple of days, Wednesday or so, we started to see some different cases kind of come into a couple of our schools. Not to the point where those schools were shut down per se, but we did have a couple classrooms that had to move to an online version and whatnot. Teachers and staff and students who were just preparing for that break, getting ready to go see older relatives, go home to see family. So we were just trying to be as cautious as possible. And this break is going to be interesting because you have a vaccine that some people are going to be able to get, frontline workers and whatnot. You have people gathering in major groups or groups with their families. So we are bracing for what is to be in the new year. Hopefully it won't be huge spikes in cases in our schools.
Well, you know, Daryl, I hope that, and I hope our listeners are taking this into consideration also, is that number one, the vaccine is, there are very few doses available right now. And frontline folks, doctors and nurses are receiving the vaccines first. And the other thing is that, you have to take two doses. The first dose is not effective until you receive the second dose, which is like 21 to 28 days later. So I don't want people to be thinking that the vaccine is here and they don't need to continue practicing safe distancing and wearing masks and those sorts of things. So is that something that you all have in your literature and communications to the students taking home for the holidays?
We don't necessarily have all the details of like dosage and all that, but we definitely have a message of, be safe, mask up when you can, social distance when you can. Even though you want to see everyone in your family, make sure folks aren't sick. And then we also gave a lot of instruction around when you come back, if you feel sick or if you have a temperature, stay home. Like, we can give you the resources you need to do that stuff at home. So we've definitely tried to inform folks. We haven't gotten into the vaccine sort of politics of who gets it, who doesn't, why you should take it or anything like that. But we have let people know that there's ways to be safe. If you take it or not take it, there's ways to be safe and ways to keep everyone in school safe as well.
So Daryl, there was an outbreak or spike or something in one of the local charter schools. I think it was KIPP or something. And was that number one, is that in your district or did it affect any of the public schools in that district?
Which one are you referring to? It was a
what's the name of that school?
KIPP. John. Like you said, the KIPP charter was reported. Yeah. Those schools were reported to shut down due to an outbreak.
Yeah, so the KIPP schools are not directly in my district. They sort of sit in board member area. But everyone's taking precautions. And I think it's not good that they had a spike, but it's also good to know that the public does know about it and they are taking precautions if there are large cases shutting down. And then no one's immune to it. Like, the cases are going to be around because people are people, they're human, they're going to gather, they're going to do what they need to do. But the question is, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to keep other people safe? Are you going to mitigate the spread? And I'm glad KIPP did what they needed to do in shutting down campuses or closing schools or classrooms or whatnot. And we'll continue to do the same thing. We're going to keep the same diligence through the new year as we did when it wasn't. And I think this is an excuse for folks to let their guard down when they see, hey, things are, they see the social media posts like the vaccine's here. We're going to be good. We're going to be good. And it's like, okay, well, I don't have to wear my mask anymore. I don't have to social distance, when not the case. So we're going to continue our diligence through the new year.
Are the kids wearing masks in school?
I mean, they are.
In the classroom, they have to have the mask. So it's mandatory.
Yeah. And I tell this all the time. Schools are probably the safest place, one of the safest places you can be. You got masks, you got shields, you got spacing, you got hand sanitizer, you got temperature checks in the front. And so it's a safer place to be. It's what happens is folks after school, they're like, get the relief of like, oh, I'll take my mask off and kind of let me breathe, let me hang out. And then all of a sudden you get it. And then you put the mask back on, go to school, you get a temperature check. Like, why do you have a temperature? You were gathering before. So let's push you to the side. You can't go in the school right now.
I've been asked this question over and over, and I have to continue giving the same answer. So I'm going to pass this on to you. There are folks in some, many in our listenership that feel that DCPS is underreporting their COVID cases. Is there a reason for that suspicion or not?
I have not heard that specifically. I feel like we're doing a good job. It may be the timing of when we're reporting as one of our biggest sort of issues that we have, because somebody might report a case, then you got to do the DOH, Department of Health sort of tracking to make sure. So I would say we're not trying to hide it at all. And in fact, you probably do. I would look at our numbers and know that there's probably students that either are asymptomatic that might be in school that have it that we just don't know about. And vice versa, because we don't know unless somebody tells us or we do a temperature check. So I would say that we're not doing it on purpose, but that's everyone. Everywhere, there's probably 100 people you figure out if they have it or not. You might see 100 because they have symptoms and then don't. So we're not trying to hide the ball at all. We're trying to keep people safe. And if anybody does have issues or sees that we're not doing that, let us know. I would love to know that. So so we're not.
Absolutely.
For sure. But I appreciate that.
No, you know, again, that's a good answer. The thing of it is that, you know, folks have questions, and sometimes they're too coward to ask those questions to people that might have an answer. So, John, you had a question?
Well, I was just going to comment. People just need to be more forthcoming about
true,
you know, what's going on with their child, okay?
If
your child is sick, let's not give them medicine and send them to school. You know, we're not in an era where the fever could just be something that's going to pass, you know, when it comes to children. It
right.
could potentially be COVID. So we need
that's
to
true.
Just take that precautionary measure, make sure that our children are well before we're sending them to school, especially if we see some kind of symptoms.
I was just going to say that's so true. There's so many. And people do it all the time in non-COVID environment. They send their kid to school, they're sick because they're in a situation
yep.
where they go to work and they can't do it. So this yep. is the time where you could actually cause other people harm. I always appreciate being on. Real quick, we have the Oversight Committee for the Halfpenny Sales Tax going to launch up in January in the new year. I'll come back on and sort of announce that. It's going to be some open meetings. We're trying to get these projects done, and you all were really instrumental in helping to push that. So wanted to make sure I announced that before I got off the radio today.
Okay, and anything else for Daryl? You know, I'm glad you mentioned that, because one of the things that we had talked about off the air was, you know, what was going on with that. The Urban League, Dr. Danford and the Urban League hosted a deal with the Jaguars and the NFL people yesterday, talking about a similar type project that's around Lot J and that lack of participation there, and trying to again get the word out to our small business owners and community organizations that we need to be participatory. We need to be not only at the table but at the bank, you know, when these opportunities present themselves. So
I love that. No, I mean, there's so many similarities, and I was actually on that call listening in to see, and it was very informative. So I appreciate Urban League and Doc Danforth for putting that on, because I learned a lot from that call too. So, and it is very similar where we need to take advantage. And it's two things. Our folks need to, we need to make sure we're informing everybody about the opportunities and giving them access. And then at the same time, we need to be ready. When opportunities come, we need to be ready and to take them on.
Yeah, and the only way we'll be ready is to be prepared, okay? Okay, we're going to wrap it up here and talk about preparedness, business, small business preparedness, especially Black business preparedness next week. And again, thank you, Daryl and Dr. Danforth, Jarman. It's been a great show. We'll see you all next Saturday, God willing, on the Empowerment Hour. Peace.
Have a Merry Christmas.